following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jim Ozarski along with my co-host Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, live from Lambeau Field, where the Green Bay Packers moved 8-2 with a 24-16 victory over the Carolina Panthers in a fun snow globe-type atmosphere. They finally get to play their Frozen Tundra hype video, Tom, when it actually was cold and kind of snowy, and the Packers kind of go back to basics, as we theorized they could, should, would do during the week, and, you know, use Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams to beat a feisty Panthers team.
Yeah, it was a grind-it-out type of game. I loved the way it ended. Not the result, but the drive and coming down to one play in the game. You know, Carolina, I love the fact that they gave it to their best guy and said, you know, score. And Green Bay, I don't know. If you go back and watch that final play, they practically lucked into stopping him. They weren't even set.
Kyler Fackrell made a hell of a play, because he was the only one paying attention.
And, you know, but the funny part about it is he lined up in the wrong place. Blake Martinez had to shift him over to the other side, and if he would have been in the right place to begin with, I don't think he would have made the play. He might not have, because he was sort of in the gap where he might not have normally been, and so he's standing up, and the ball is snapped, and all of a sudden he just shoots through the gap. And Kenny Clark is standing up, and Preston Smith is standing up. It's like, you know, these guys, they get things done by hook or crook, you know, their defense. I don't know how they survive. They give up tons of yards, but they tend to keep teams out of the end zone, and they kept them out of the end zone there.
Yeah, and, of course, if Jair Alexander – you know, makes it probably the easiest interception maybe that anyone will throw to him. You know, we're not even talking about that part of it, right? I mean, that's a pick six earlier in that drive.
Should have been probably the end of the game.
Yeah, but no, you're right, Tom. So I guess let's just stick there defensively, because Christian McCaffrey was such a huge talking point during the week. To a lesser degree, Kyle Allen. Packers, you know, I don't know what you heard in the locker room during the week, but I heard a lot of respect for the young guy.
Yeah.
From the Packers, with just the way they felt he could, you know, move, first of all, which Za'Darius Smith maybe could have, would have, should have had four sacks.
Kenny Clark,
a handful. You know, and but you know, McCaffrey got his. Greg Olsen got his 8 catches for 98 yards. I mean, it's one of those things. I think you listened to us and you started those guys your fantasy team. Maybe they won that for you, but the Packers kept them out of the end zone. McCaffrey had one score, didn't come to the fourth quarter. And to your point, Tom, that Petten kind of said he doesn't like bend but don't break on Thursday, but they did it again.
Yeah,
and they've done this 8 times now. They're 6-0 when they create a turnover. You know, they Preston Smith 2 third down sacks again. I mean, this is when it's like carbon copy. Just copy-paste this defensive effort in their 8 wins.
I don't know if it's sustainable, but, you know, what they're doing is getting through the grind of the season, these games, and they're finding ways to win. It's in December that you need to come together and start playing really good football. I mean, that's when we'll find out whether they can really become an effective unit. But right now, they're winning with talent, and, you know, they've got four interceptions in the end zone this year. They picked off Trubisky at the end. They picked off Kirk Cousins at the end. They picked off Derek Carr close to the end. And then they picked off Kyle Allen. So that tells you a lot about their defense. They just find a way to escape. And but it also, it has to be, it's not sustainable if the offense isn't doing something. And the offense was doing something today. You know, they were doing enough.
And, yeah, that was, I mean, we talked about it coming off L.A. We talked about it in Los Angeles for that post-game podcast. And then during the week, how that was the first time that they hadn't played complementary football, mm-hmm. where the defense was getting off the field and held them to four field goals, but yet the offense was going three and out, three and out. And then, you know, here they are on Sunday, Tom, and it didn't start great. But once they finally got the run game going is when, you know, Green Bay was able to move the ball. I mean, Aaron Jones, 90 yards rushing. Jamal, three touchdowns. Jamal Williams, 63 yards rushing. The two of them combined averaged almost 10 yards a carry in the second half, Tom.
Wow.
I mean, it was insane in that way. Like, they were just so effective on the ground. And then when you saw the boots, the play actions, right? Devontae Adams made a couple deep ball shots. Marquez Valdez-Scantling did not come down with one. Adams missed one. So this was, to me, Tom, again, when I said carbon copy with the defense, I would say offensively, too, starting in Dallas, right? Like, the run it, get mm-hmm. those guys the ball, mm-hmm. and then work off of that. And it seemed like that was their game. I mean, that was what they wanted to get back to.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with, again, their running backs. Sort of an unsung guy here, I think, is Jamal Williams. A lot of Aaron Jones, of course, he had the three touchdowns, averaged 7.2 yards per carry. Don't think he had any catches, did he? No.
No.
I don't think any of the backs had any catches.
Yeah, Williams was targeted once. They were not part of the pass offense.
Yeah. But, you know, Jones's game is great, 13 touches. But, you know, Jamal Williams keeps Aaron Jones fresh, and he also poses a different kind of a threat. You know, he's the between-the-tackle, pounded-out guy. And I really think he deserves a lot of credit for accepting the role that he's in, and I thought he was really a nice compliment to Aaron Jones today.
Yeah, especially, you know, when the weather gets bad. I know Williams had a great day earlier in the season on some slicker conditions, if you will. Although Lambeau Field, I mean, it's been slick for these guys all year.
Yeah,
they've been slipping and falling. Yeah. You know, I felt silly asking the head coach about that at the end of the week, Tom, mm-hmm. about the cleats and the guys falling over, but we saw it again Sunday. So I don't know, maybe they can figure that out during the bye week. But, I thought what was interesting, Tom, was, you know, there were a couple things that stuck out. So let's look at that end of half play.
Okay.
You know, where Jimmy Graham doesn't get his feet in. And so now it's fourth and goal, fourth and one. They have a chance to take a chip shot field goal, maybe go up 17-10 at the half.
Mm-hmm.
Field goal unit runs out. Then they come back. They go for it. They try running Jamal Williams between left guard and left tackle. And, you know, Gerald McCoy, the All-Pro, blows that up. So, obviously, fans are sitting there shouting and yelling, right? Because they should, quote-unquote, should be up 10. What did you make of that decision? What did it mean? Does it mean anything?
I didn't like the decision. I would take the points there. He said it was a gut feeling. That's not a great way to coach. Sometimes, if you feel like you're dominating the line of scrimmage and they can't stop you, but at that point that wasn't the case. First half,
yeah, they only averaged like about 3.4 yards per carry in the first half.
Yeah,
they hadn't found that run game
yet. And the conditions are getting worse. I mean, I know, you know, there is definitely a desire to pound it in, and then you're thinking, okay, now we have total control. Plus they had the ball in the
yes.
second half, which is a factor. But I just would have kicked the field goal. I thought that at the time and wasn't sure. I guess I didn't have a, you know, this is incredibly stupid kind of feeling, but I thought to myself they should just kick the field goal.
So here. Conversely, what about Ron Rivera going for 2 points? And he says post-game he was going strictly off analytics.
Yeah, well, I sort of understand the analytics. It doesn't, on the surface, it doesn't make sense. But, you know, when you think about going for the win, it gives you an opportunity to have two-point, I mean, you get a second two-point conversion if you want. And the idea is to win. So you want to get ahead, and you want to have that chance to win the game at the end with just an extra point. So I think the analytics guys are probably right. But at the time, I thought, this is really dumb. Just if you need to go for two at the end, go for two. You know, why screw it up now? But I sort of understand what the analytics mean. It's all a math thing, you know, and I'm not very good at math, but I kind of understand it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I guess I liked LaFleur going for it, knowing that they had the ball come out in the second half. Didn't know, of course, that they would score a touchdown or anything of that nature and look this good. But, I mean, even Aaron Rodgers kind of noted it postgame. He's like, well, you know, we ran it. And I remember Philly, people killed us because we didn't run it. And I know these guys like to say they don't ever think about stuff and what people say, but I wonder if they're – I know LaFleur said, hey, he believes in his guys, and maybe in hindsight that wasn't the right play call, and he would do it again. If you score a touchdown there and then you pile on, I mean, maybe you think you just totally take McCaffrey out of the game. So yeah. I get it. I think it's something you do at home. Although Mike Zimmer later in that day, Tom, actually did the same thing in Dallas, mm-hmm. except Dalvin Cook got in. So I guess when it goes in, the conversation is a little less, feisty, if you will. Mm-hmm. Another part of this offense I thought was interesting, Tom. You know, Aaron Rodgers, 17 of 29, an 84 rating. You know, I don't know if he would call it his best game. I think he admitted he missed some guys, especially in the red zone area. We saw Devontae Adams have his third 100-yard receiving game. This is the first time, you know, that they've really didn't spread the ball around. As we mentioned, the running backs didn't catch anything.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham caught 2 passes for 59 yards. Valdez-Scantling just one target, didn't come down with that ball. I don't know. Was it just one of those things where the quarterback played with what he was given? It felt like Dallas in that way? Or
yeah.
No?
It was kind of a strange type of game. Carolina, they have a decent pass rush, and I thought their coverage was pretty good. And then you would get these chances where there would be some one-on-ones, and Rodgers loves to take his shots in one-on-ones. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But I didn't think they played the sticks especially well until the second half when they were able to run the ball. Then they were able to sustain some drives. But they still have to learn how to, you know, sometimes those shot plays can wait a little bit. Move the ball down the field, get the team, you know, soften up the defense a little bit, and then take your shots. And sometimes Rodgers gets a little impatient, takes his shots before. Or, you know, they get it to 2nd and 10, and they're just not a good 2nd and 10 team. So I didn't get the feel that this was the game they had against Kansas City. I felt this was better than what they did against the Chargers, and they ran the ball. They have to continue to get better running the ball because they got some games here, and on the road they're going to have to win. You know, with some game in some games where they got to protect Rodgers, and doing that is the best way to do that is with the run game. Because also their offensive line is not pass blocking that well. They're getting too many penalties and they're giving up some hits. And Rodgers is scrambling a lot. Some of that they have to clean up.
Yeah. We mentioned the run game, and you know, you and I talked about, you know, hey, did something change halftime wise? Did they do something differently? And actually, I talked to a little over half dozen of those guys, and they all said they all put credit on the receivers and the tight ends for being cleaner, better, whatever word, in their assignments in the blocking game. Elton Jenkins basically said that was the difference between getting 3 and 4 versus 7 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
The effort from Jimmy Graham, Jay Sternberger, Kumerow actually helped seal off that 28-yard run. I know Jimmy Graham, I can't remember which running back kind of followed Graham for a huge, you know, chunk run down the line of all things. So, you know, run game-wise at least, the offensive line was buttressed a little bit. I want to run a couple individuals by you, Tom, so we can hit this quick hitting. You mentioned the offensive line and some issues. What's going on with the All-Pro left tackle at this point? I think the penalties, we can argue week to week on what's what, but it's weird to see him beat by straight up bull rush. He was again Sunday night, so we've seen that. He doesn't really pop up on injury reports. He's not missing practice.
I don't know. He's not having his classic type of year.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're talking about a guy who's, you know, obviously he's been called the premier, one of the premier left tackles, being an All-Pro selection the last 2 years.
Yeah, and he's given up a lot of hits. He's getting Rodgers hit. I mean, it's not an emergency. It's not, man, he's they got to replace him or anything. He's still a really good left tackle. It's just that he's not playing up to the standard that he had been playing. I don't think it's killing their offense. I think there will be times as the season goes on, and maybe we're just talking playoffs, that it could hurt them. But every time you see it, you know, you see him getting beat, and it's happened numerous weeks in a row. You start to wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. He's not on the injury report. It could just be his game is slipping.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting to. Well, he's only 28, so I don't know.
Yeah. Another individual, Aaron Jones, and the reason I bring him up, it's in this context, Tom. 3 touchdowns on the ground today. Starting to drift into Jim Taylor territory, and then you wrote in your game preview, he's in Jim Brown. Or no, that was Christian McCaffrey, excuse me. But very similar to Christian McCaffrey, and Aaron Rodgers says, hey, that guy is in the MVP conversation. Maybe what about our guy?
I wouldn't go that far.
But yeah. But
he's scoring a lot of touchdowns.
I will bring that up, though. 14 touchdowns, and he's – I mean, is it fair to say at this point, Tom, I know you and I didn't agree with the national punditry, I guess, for that little window where they said Aaron Rodgers was in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, I think we were right about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, this team's 8-2, right? So, I mean, somebody somewhere has to be in some conversation. Is there, I mean,
about
he's got 14
what,
touchdowns.
Though? About what? The MVP?
Whether it's MVP or at least as an All-Pro, as the best player on this offense. I don't know.
I don't. An MVP is, you know, a dominant player. They're winning because they have a lot of talent. But I don't think they have a dominant player, an MVP type. I don't think they have anything close to that. Aaron Jones, the touchdowns are great. But, I mean, what about his numbers? Where does he rank in rushing? Not that high, I don't think.
Right.
McCaffrey still, I mean, he is there. He is a dominant player. That's the guy you try to stop. I don't know. I don't think you have to, even if you're 15-1, I don't think you have to have an MVP. You know, I think you can be a good team with good players, and I think that's what the Packers are. Now, I don't know how really good they're going to be, but I'll tell you, they're in the running with New Orleans losing now. The Rams lost. Seattle, we have to wait till Monday night. You know, there's opportunity for the Packers to get a home field game in the first round. So that's what they need to be worried about. Where Aaron Jones ranks, he's certainly a really nice player. But, I don't see him amongst the top running backs yet.
Defensively, I know Preston Smith gets two sacks, gives him 10, a career high. I think he told everyone he was buying the defense Rolex watches. So, wow, that's nice. That's a nice six-figure workout bonus to his teammates there, I believe. Yeah. $10,000 a watch at least. But the guy I wanted to ask you about was the one who played his first game, Ibrahim Campbell. Active.
Yeah.
And not just active, Tom. I mean, he played a lot.
He did.
He played the entire last drive.
Yeah.
Forced a fumble. And I don't want to say he shadowed McCaffrey because it's not true, but he was around that guy. And he was around the tight end. Was it stellar? I mean, I'm sure they'll probably say no, but clearly, you know, Mike Pettine trusted this guy coming off that injury, not playing any games more than Josh Jackson, maybe more than Oren Burks, mm-hmm. more than Will Redmond. What did that kind of say?
Well, he played Oren Burks in the first series for two or three plays, and then Campbell came in, and that was it.
Yep.
So I don't know if Burks screwed up or they just decided they were going to ease Campbell into it, but I wouldn't call that easing. I'm curious to see how many snaps he had. Had to be at least how many.
It was the entire final drive for sure.
Yeah.
So I mean,
it was most of the second half.
Yeah.
So yeah, and this guy always puts up numbers. He finds a way to put up numbers. Six tackles and that forced fumble. He did the same thing last year. Put up average like seven tackles a game and had a forced fumble and. He's a nice little player. Now he had his bumps there. He had blew a coverage, failed to cover the tight end. You know, got sucked in by, I think, play action. But I think he gives them a little bit better run defense than the other safeties.
Yeah.
Who play in that dime package.
Yeah. So one, as the Packers win this game, and you know, drove Packers fans crazy, but this is how they play.
Yeah.
You know, in their eight wins, that game in Oakland, if Derek Carr doesn't, you know, do something stupid, you know, that game's a lot closer than the final score indicated. So, but as you said, 8-2.
One other thing, you know, another guy who we're talking about, guys who played and individuals was Jay Sternberger played a considerable amount in this game. He, I think he's got a role coming up. I think he's going to be used more and more as time goes on. Now, they haven't used him as a receiver, but they used him a lot as a blocker, which
kind really
of surprised me.
Yeah.
He is a willing blocker, you know? He's not afraid to mix it up. He wasn't always
good at it.
Perfect.
But he got in the way. Yeah. And that mattered. That was part of that second half rushing effort. I mean, Sternberger particularly.
They require those tight ends to be mobile in their blocking. You know, it's sort of like a fullback. You got to be able to block on the move. And he did a pretty good job of that, and I'm interested to see as time goes on when they start getting him involved in the passing game, because that's what he was known for. I mean, that's the whole reason they drafted him.
Yeah, but I mean, clearly, since he can move back and, you know, get to those weak side blocks, I don't think Mercedes Lewis and Jimmy Graham can do that. So
yeah,
I think he fills that role in terms of those plays.
Yeah.
And Aaron Jones was telling me that what's interesting is built off that action,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't say Jay Sternberger is going to get a shovel pass off one of those. Mm-hmm. But it sounded like Jay Sternberger might get a shovel pass soon off one of those actions. Mm-hmm. Because it's just in terms of, you know, he's showing and going hard effort to that weak side.
Those split zone plays, the thing you really like about them is that, you know, I think you have to be, the defense has to be in a certain formation for that to work. But what you really like about it is that Bulaga, so let's say he's Sternberger's on the left side and he's going to cross back. Bulaga gets to block down, and they all of a sudden have like five guys blocking down on four, and the tight end is taking the backside end and making sure he can't chase it down. And it creates, it's a nice zone play because it gets everybody moving to the left. Jones takes it, and then he cuts back, you know, right behind Bulaga and Billy Turner. And so it's a nice play to have. And then eventually you can do some bootleg off of that. You can send Sternberger that direction, and then he just runs around the end, and Rodgers, you know, bootlegs it and throws it. So I think you made a good observation that they can't do that as much with Mercedes Lewis and Jimmy Graham because they're just not as good they're not as athletic as Sternberger. So that's something that I think they're going to continue to explore his role in the offense.
Yeah, I'll own it. I did not think Jay Sternberger was, A, going to play at all.
No, me
and
either.
B, if he was going to play, we were never going to see him. But
yeah, I said that in the blog. So, I said, no, he's not going to play.
Yeah,
and I was completely wrong.
Yeah, so credit to him for that because he didn't look good in the little bit of blocking he tried to do in camp. And, you know, I give him credit for that. They trust him, and clearly for 2 weeks, Tom, that role has increased. But and look at you being positive.
Mm-hmm.
Look at bringing up a guy to talk about.
Yeah.
So you know, you mentioned there. You know, look, they are what they are, 8-2. Whether San Francisco's undefeated or has one loss, when they meet in 2 weeks, it's a big game. Home field in the NFC could be on the line in some form or fashion. I know, you know, you kind of wondered about this team going into this week. You said, hey, what are we going to see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't know if on the blog, but I know some of our Twitters, some of our listeners say, hey, Tom, are they a fraud? Where are they at? So I'll ask. They did respond, right? They did win and kind of get back to their formula. They get a bye week now. Where are they at? What did they change your mind at all? Or is it, you know, what are you thinking now as you evaluate this team through 10 weeks?
I guess what I'm thinking is that I don't believe in anybody in the NFC anymore. I thought New Orleans was the team to the cream of the crop, and then they lose to Atlanta at home with Drew Brees. So I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know if these are all just a bunch of mediocre teams, you know, fighting it out in the NFC or what. But no, I don't, you know, when I see them winning games easily, then I'll be convinced that they're a really good team. But I guess that's the way it is in the NFL. There's just a bunch of teams and they're, you know, there's parity and everybody has to grind out games the best they can. And I'll continue to say, we'll know more once December hits. That's when teams really start to find themselves and they start to win really big games. And, you know, that kind of starts with the 49ers game. It's not quite December, but that's a big game for the Packers. That's going to be a huge test for them to see where they're at.
Yeah, no, for sure. It they might as well. I mean, you know, the Rams lost 17-12 to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Of all teams, so they're 5-4. The Bears barely hang on and beat a Matt Staffordless Lions team. Those, you know, Bears and Rams play next week, Tom. One of Bears might be back around 500 for as bad as they've been. Obviously, Minnesota, I think, and you and I both agree that they're still going to have something to say about that game at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Yeah.
In December, right?
Yeah. And, you know, San Francisco has a killer schedule coming up. You know, they had sort of an easy go of it. But some of the quarterbacks, you know, they got Russell Wilson coming up. They've got Rodgers. Then they got Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Speaking of MVPs. They have Brady, I think, coming up after that.
Matt Ryan. So they get Russell Wilson and the Arizona Cardinals before the Packers head in.
And then it's Baltimore at
New Orleans. So they hit a tough two-game back-to-back. Yeah. Stretch there.
I mean, just the looking down the list of quarterbacks they have to face, and the Packers go from Garoppolo, then they go to Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones.
And then Trubisky.
And Trubisky and Matthew Stafford, I don't know what his status is.
Right.
You know, after that. So they really have they're set up for a strong finish. So that's when we'll have to find out. We'll see whether they're really as good. They should win some of those games in a big way.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so. Tom, I don't think this team is going – I don't personally think, even those games against Washington and the Giants, I don't think they're going to win pretty. I don't think they're designed that way.
I don't think they're ever going to do that.
I think they're – I mean, maybe Washington, just because that's such a train wreck. There, and Haskins is clearly not Daniel Jones, you know. So maybe that's a freebie, right? But I think what we saw Sunday night or Sunday afternoon against Carolina, Tom, 24-16, and just looking like, you know, Packers fans are tearing their hair out because the defense gives up yards, but you know, Rodgers takes shot plays or misses open. I mean, this is just kind of where they are.
Yeah, that's who they are.
So we'll see in December, though, as you said, how that holds up and if they can keep winning. And, you know, maybe we'll keep winning over at our friends with Potawatomi Hotel Casino, Tom.
Yeah.
They're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
You can win there, too, especially on Wednesday nights. Wednesday night wins over at Potawatomi Hotel Casino. Play with your club card for your share of $250,000 in total prizes. And, of course, learn more, read all about it, visit paysbig.com/fallwins. We hit the buy. Do you have anything? Yeah, big plans?
I do, and I'm just getting away. I'm not thinking about football.
You don't want to think about your picks, do you?
Oh, my God. Oh, I got buried this week. But I think everybody got buried this week. I don't feel as bad because there were just some – wow. I mean, how many upset – weird games were there.
Yeah, I don't think Steelers-Rams. I guess it depended on what you picked with that Lions-Bears.
I took the Bears, thankfully, but I didn't take Miami over Indianapolis.
Yeah, Miami over Indianapolis.
I didn't
Falcons
take the Rams
over,
I didn't take Pittsburgh over the Rams. I didn't pick Dallas over Minnesota. Minnesota won.
Browns over Bills.
I'm pretty sure I took the Bills.
Titans over Chiefs.
Tennessee over the Chiefs. Who took that? You know, with Mahomes back? I don't know. Yeah. I just Atlanta over New Orleans 26-9. I quit. I just quit.
I am also getting away. Unfortunately, there is no Potawatomi Hotel and Casino, but maybe I find a hotel casino. I might go out west.
Yeah.
Go hit a
some
bit.
Little blackjack.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. You know, I got to get out of this cold, Tom.
Yeah,
gotta
me
get
too.
Out of the cold. So, well, hopefully, all of you enjoyed this podcast. We'll also enjoy your bye week, and of course, can catch up on this game. And we will continue to provide great content over at jsonline.com, PackersNews.com, fun stories from Tom, from myself, Ryan Wood, Pete Doherty, great video content from Olivia Reiner. Make sure you subscribe, and then download the apps. That's what you want to do. So, for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you next time.